Grace, mercy, and peace be yours
from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
The queen in Snow White was a wicked woman. Not only did she have a self-image problem, for she kept asking a mirror, "Who's the fairest of them all?" and expected the mirror to affirm her own beauty as the best. But she also was a jealous and vengeful woman. When she discovered that she was no longer the fairest, she hired a huntsman to kill Snow White and bring her lungs and liver. Of course, it's just a fairy tale. But every fairy tale can reveal real-world problems. People like knowing who are the extremes. Who's the fairest? Who's the richest? Who's the fastest? Who's the smartest? The disciples wanted to know from Jesus who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You got to give them credit for asking a question about heaven. I mean, hey, they weren't asking what's the weather going to be like next Tuesday, or who's going to win the horse race next Thursday. How many fingers am I holding up, Jesus, behind my back? Like any of that mattered. So we give them credit for asking heavenly questions. Questions that affirm that there really is a heaven. But we learn from the Bible also to question every man's motive. Why were they asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Were the disciples hoping that they were the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Or were they hoping to posture themselves in good favor with whomever it may be who is this greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Maybe Peter, maybe James, or maybe John. Were they planning to play some politics here on earth so that in heaven they could say, "I have friends in high places"? If so, the disciples were trying to make heaven like earth, with all the same social dynamics and laws, and yes, even politics and personal favors. Shame on them. For they were not thinking as God thinks, but thinking like mortal men. And shame on us, for we do the same things. We know by our conscience that we are not in God's good favor by thought, word, or deed. We confess. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we question, how will I be in God's good favor? Maybe I can't change my past, what I've done and failed to do. But when you know someone in a great position, a high office, a mayor, a governor, a congressman, a president, there's a chance I can rein in a favor for being a friend and supporter. Maybe if I pray to St. Peter, or if I say hail to Mary, or if I give money to a charity set up in Mother Teresa's name. Hey, I'm not assuming that I'm the greatest in heaven, but if I know someone who is, I'll ride their tail. I'll squeak by. I'll survive. And at this point, I'm pretty sure God rolls his eyes. Getting into heaven on the works or the backs of others never works. It may work and be helpful to know the hierarchy here on earth, but on earth is where such thinking must stop. For what man on earth has the ability to judge another man's greatness? In God's eyes. How do you know if St. Peter is greater than St. Paul? Or whether Augustine is better than Athanasius? Or whether Albert the Great was really that great? Or whether Joan of Arc is greater than Catherine von Bora? You don't have a clue. You can make an argument, but then you'd have to qualify by saying, arguably. Only God knows. And he's not telling. Because his ways are not our ways, neither our ways his ways, declares the Lord. No, So much so that Jesus surprised the disciples by picking out someone little and putting him smack dab in the middle for all to see an example of greatness. Not a man at all, and not a woman either. It was a child. You want an example of greatness to follow? Forget sucking up to someone with a track record of good works or visible closeness to God. Instead, turn and become like children. Children whose parents have to do everything for them. Clean them, feed them, put them in school, fix their wounds, encourage them and disciple them, discipline them to behave. Children are the best at receiving and trusting in others to do for them what is needed to keep them alive. Unless you turn, you proud adult, you sassy teenager, you I-can-do-it-myself toddler, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to wash you, feed you, fix your wounds, encourage and discipline you for your behavior? How are you going to get to heaven? Adults tend to look horizontally. Adults suck up to those whom they perceive to have better chances and associate. Children look vertically. Children look up to the one who is reliably able to do for them which they cannot do for themselves. Whoever humbles himself like this child, Jesus said, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever stands at the last day like a child, not posturing for greatness or looking for favors from others, but looks to God alone for saving grace, looks to the baptism that God gives, looks to the supper that he feeds us with as his children, looks to Jesus as Savior and friend of sinners, who dies in their place, and by his stripes we are healed, who rises for them as proof of his divinity and his love. That one, the one with faith in the pure gospel of Jesus as one with the Father and the Spirit, who gives salvation, his gift, not earned. That one is greatest of all. It's just so backward and upside down from what we're used to in this corrupt adult world that we tend to forget. Mirror, mirror in my hand, who's the fairest in the land? Asked the queen in Snow White. Who's the greatest? Asked the disciples. It's one thing to question. It's another to know. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Greatness comes through humility. Unless you turn and become like children, Jesus says, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.